Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to a deep dive into the fascinating, fast-moving world of artificial intelligence. Today, we've pulled together a stack of sources that reveal just how quickly AI is reshaping industries, sparking legal debates, and impacting our everyday lives. Think of this as your shortcut to understanding the biggest aha moments in AI right now.
Yeah, and what's truly compelling here is how AI is rapidly transitioning from, a buzzword, a theoretical concept, to a tangible transformative force across so many sectors. Our mission today, really, is to cut through the noise, connect the dots between these headlines that might seem disparate, and help you grasp not just what's happening, but the profound implications, why it matters, from, strategic corporate plays and the nuanced ethics of data, even resurrecting a lost film. We're covering a lot of ground.
A lot of ground. We'll look at the race for power, the impact on digital and creative worlds, and how it's quietly changing daily life. And before we dive into all these incredible developments, let's quickly ground ourselves in the core tech. Our sources offer a glimpse into the very architecture making this possible: neural networks. It's truly remarkable, isn't it, how our own brains are inspiring the future of computation. So, for listeners who maybe aren't deep in the technical weeds, how would you describe these brains behind the AI revolution?
Okay. Well, at its heart, a neural network is a computational model designed to mimic, basically, the structure and function of the human brain. Imagine layers of artificial neurons, like tiny processing units, all interconnected by weighted links. These links are sort of like the synapses in our brains, right? They determine how strongly one neuron influences another.
So if it's like our brains, are these neurons learning in a similar way, or is it a totally different process?
Precisely. Well, similar in concept. They learn by continually adjusting those connection strengths. Think of it like fine-tuning a guitar to hit the right note. In our brains, we call that synaptic plasticity. But in AI, this tuning happens through a process called backpropagation. Imagine backpropagation as the network constantly checking its work, getting feedback on its mistakes, and then using gradient descent, which is just a clever mathematical method to figure out exactly how to adjust those connections to get closer to the right answer next time. Like convolutional neural networks, CNNs, they're designed to mirror our visual cortex, making them incredibly good at pattern recognition, almost like how our eyes and brain work together to identify objects.
That's a great analogy. It really helps clarify how these systems evolve. But you mentioned mimicry. How far does that actually go? Are we talking about something approaching artificial consciousness, or is there still a fundamental difference from a biological brain?
Ah, that's a crucial distinction, a really important one. While these artificial neural networks are incredibly powerful, they still lack the true plasticity, the biological efficiency, and frankly, the dynamic adaptability of a biological brain. Our brains can rewire themselves on the fly, learn from very little data, adapt to completely novel situations in ways AI is, well, still striving for. So this raises a big question. How far can this mimicry go before we hit the inherent limitations of silicon versus biology, especially in areas meeting genuine creativity, common sense, or that super efficient real-time adaptation?
That's a perfect lead-in, because this capability difference and just the sheer power needed is where it gets incredibly competitive for the big tech players. Our sources reveal this intense strategic scramble for the raw computing power AI needs to grow, especially specialized hardware. Take OpenAI, for instance. The reports detail their decision to actually produce their own custom AI chips. This move comes after some very public struggles with GPU shortages. Remember Sam Altman posting about delays for GPT 4.5 because they were simply out of GPUs?
Right, I remember that.
Imagine having that revolutionary software ready, but no engines to run it.
It's a critical strategic pivot. The information we have points to OpenAI partnering with semiconductor giant Broadcom with a reported commitment, something like $10 billion in orders.
$10 billion.
Yeah. This vertical integration, moving into hardware, it's a massive play. It's critical for them not just to overcome those supply bottlenecks, ensure a steady stream of chips for their models, but also to control their own destiny for future AI development. If we step back, this isn't just about securing chips, it's about strategic resilience.
Less dependence.
Exactly. Reducing dependence on a handful of external manufacturing partners and fundamentally shaping the future architecture of AI.
That shows.
It signals potentially a new era where major AI players might all need to become full-stack hardware and software companies.
Which could really fragment the ecosystem.
It could, and create new forms of competition beyond just whose model is best.
And it's not just OpenAI charting this course, is it? Microsoft is making equally significant moves. We're talking about a massive, $17.4 billion 5-year cloud deal with Nebius for long-term access to high-speed GPUs.
Yeah, and potentially expanding up to $19.4 billion.
That's just a staggering investment, securing precious resources.
Indeed. For Microsoft, this agreement provides a secure source of GPUs outside the usual channels, helping them avoid those hardware bottlenecks and diversifying their infrastructure away from relying so heavily on, say, NVIDIA, which currently dominates the market. It's a move to ensure stability, future innovation, and a fiercely competitive space.
And for Nebius.
Well, for Nebius, it's a huge vote of confidence and a steady revenue stream to fund their own growth, expand their global AI footprint. What's fascinating, if you compare it to OpenAI, is that while OpenAI is building their own custom chips,
Right.
Microsoft is securing massive access to external supply from a diversified partner. So two distinct but equally aggressive strategies for hardware independence.
Internal development versus diversified procurement.
Exactly. And the question becomes, which path proves more sustainable, more scalable in the long run? Does this just accelerate the trend of AI power consolidating among those with the deepest pockets for infrastructure?
It really feels like the foundation of AI development is undergoing this seismic shift. Okay, now let's turn our attention to something fundamental to many of us, the internet itself. Google recently made a very bold claim that certainly caught our attention, shaking things up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
In a new legal filing for its ad tech antitrust case, Google apparently claimed the open web is in rapid decline.
Rapid decline from Google.
Right. This argument was made to prevent a court-ordered breakup of its advertising business. Google asserted that divesting its AdX marketplace would hasten the demise of vast parts of the web dependent on ad revenue. It's a very different tune than we usually hear from them about the health of the internet.
Huh. Well, what's truly striking there is the direct contradiction. It clashes with Google's usual public stance, doesn't it?
Oh.
Normally, they maintain their AI work. Overviews don't reduce web traffic, that search clicks are relatively stable. So this raises a critical question for, you listening as a user, maybe a content creator. Is Google using a legal maneuver here to protect its business? Or is this a genuine, kind of sober insight into the real challenges facing the ad-dependent parts of the web? If this legal filing is a genuine concern, it could signal a fundamental rethinking of how content gets monetized online, maybe pushing creators towards more direct patronage, subscriptions, as traditional ad revenue dwindles.
Yeah.
It definitely hints at a very real tension between their business models, the rise of AI summarization, and this evolving digital landscape.
It certainly makes you wonder about the future of online content. And look, from the economics of the web to the magic of the silver screen, AI is making significant waves in creative fields too, and in some truly surprising ways. Not just new creations, but bringing the past back to life.
Okay, intriguing.
Our sources tell us about this Amazon-backed startup, Showrunner. They're using AI to bring lost Orson Welles footage back, specifically deploying their new Film One model, combined with tools like face and pose transfer, to recreate the missing 43 minutes of The Magnificent Ambersons.
Wow, Ambersons, the one the studio butchered.
Exactly. Welles' 1942 film that notoriously had a third of its footage erased by RKO. They're using archived set photos as a foundation, blending AI-generated content with live actor readings for the voices, bringing a ruined masterpiece back from the dead almost a century later. That's quite something.
That is remarkable, a huge historical preservation project. I know researcher Brian Rose spent years digitally rebuilding something like 30,000 missing frames using notes, photos, records.
Right.
What's truly fascinating here is the potential for AI to act as this powerful historical preservation tool, not just a creation engine. It gives us a glimpse, maybe, of recovering lost cultural artifacts, accessing art we thought was gone forever.
But there are hurdles, right?
Oh, absolutely. The project highlights the current ethical and commercial hurdles. It won't be commercialized without approval from the rights holders. And this really underscores the need for clear guidelines on ownership, on rights, when AI is used to reconstruct or modify existing copyrighted works. I mean, who owns the AI-generated missing footage if the original creator is long gone?
That's a thorny question.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of recreation, AI is also driving entirely new creative ventures. OpenAI, for example, is backing Critters, an AI-generated animated feature.
Okay.
The goal here is to prove AI can help create strong films while significantly cutting Hollywood production costs and timelines. They're aiming for completion in just 9 months,
9 months.
with a sub $30 million budget. which is, you know, a stark contrast to typical animated films needing years and hundreds of millions.
That's incredibly ambitious. So
yeah.
OpenAI is providing the tech.
Yeah, their advanced tools, computing resources, GPT-5, latest image models. They're targeting a Cannes debut in 2026. And it's framed as a human-AI collaboration. Human actors for voices, artists doing initial sketches.
Right.
That GPT-5 and image models then transform into final animations.
So what this truly challenges is our traditional notions of authorship, isn't it? The creative process itself. Is the human artist still the sole author?
Huge question.
And maybe the tougher hurdle, as our sources suggest, will be audience acceptance, an openly AI-generated film, especially with current anti-AI sentiment in creative industries.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It really prompts us to consider how audiences will engage with and value art that openly acknowledges its AI origins. If it's successful, though, it could fundamentally disrupt the economics, the accessibility of filmmaking, democratize the process, maybe.
But also raise questions about the role of human artistry.
Exactly. It's clear that from resurrection to new creation, AI is both a powerful tool and a major disruptor in the creative world. But as AI gets more creative, more powerful, the question of where its training data comes from becomes more urgent. And we're seeing that ethical sourcing is starting to cost companies big money.
Right. Like Anthropic, they've agreed to a proposed, what is it, a $1.5 billion settlement with authors who accuse them of using pirated copies of their books.
Yeah, something like 500,000 works allegedly used to train Claude.
That is a very significant sum. Many are calling it a landmark decision.
It really is. This proposed deal, if it gets finalized, truly sets a new, higher standard for ethical content sourcing across the AI industry. It sends an undeniable message. AI companies must pay for the content they use, especially copyrighted content.
And there was a judge's ruling involved earlier.
Yes. U.S. District Judge William Alsup clarified that while training on copyrighted books isn't inherently illegal, downloading millions of works from piracy sites like Books3 and Library Genesis was wrongful.
Okay.
So this really pushes us to consider whose work is being leveraged to build these powerful models. It highlights this growing tension between rapid tech development and the fundamental rights of creators.
Mm-hmm.
Control, compensation. Mm-hmm. How will future business models evolve to fairly remunerate the vast amount of human-created data that fuels these systems? It's a foundational question for the digital age, really.
And it's clear the legal landscape around AI is still being drawn, right? And at a rapid pace. There are other ongoing legal battles, too. The reports mention Apple and OpenAI's antitrust lawsuit from Elon Musk's X and investigations into Meta Character.ai over claims of misleading children.
It truly is dynamic, an evolving area where legal frameworks are just struggling to keep pace with the tech advancements, intellectual property, data privacy, consumer protection.
Yeah.
These cases aren't just about money. They're about setting precedents that will define the future of AI development and deployment for everyone.
Definitely. Okay, so beyond the big business deals, legal battles, Hollywood drama, AI is also quietly improving our everyday lives, sometimes in unexpected but incredibly impactful ways.
Like what?
Well, a new study from Emory University highlights AI voice agents assisting senior citizens in taking and reporting blood pressure over the phone.
Oh, interesting. How did that work out?
The results are truly impressive. These conversational AI agents reached 85% of 2,000 patients by phone. 60% successfully took readings in English or Spanish. This boosted quality scores for clinics from 1 star to 4 stars.
Wow.
All while cutting costs by nearly 90%, 88.7% compared to human nurses. Imagine an AI helping you stay on top of your health right from home with a friendly voice.
That is striking. The dual achievement, significant cost savings, and high patient satisfaction.
Exactly. The average satisfaction score was above 9 out of 10, which apparently defied researchers' expectations of resistance from older folks to automated healthcare.
That's fascinating. So they weren't just collecting data?
No, they automatically escalated cases to human nurses if readings were too high, or if patients reported symptoms like chest pain, dizziness, ensuring safety, continuity of care.
Okay, that's key. So this study provides a powerful blueprint, really, for AI's role in elder care, remote patient monitoring, proving AI can deliver both efficiency and a positive user experience in a sensitive field. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, imagine combining this with AI vision tools in the future for even more comprehensive, accessible remote care.
Yeah.
Truly revolutionizing home health.
We've covered a lot of ground today, showing AI's incredible range, but a few other developments really round out our picture of AI's diverse impact and continued expansion.
Absolutely. We're seeing AI just permeating so many aspects of our lives at an accelerating pace. For instance, in policy, Anthropic publicly endorsing California's SB 53 bill.
Right, the one requiring AI companies to publish safety frameworks, transparency reports.
Yeah. And this isn't just a regulatory move. It shows, I think, an increasing recognition from within the industry that self-governance, regulation, they need to catch up with innovation, perhaps even to build public trust.
Or maybe shape the regulation.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Are they endorsing regulation to help shape it favorably? Or is it a genuinely proactive step towards safer, more transparent AI? Something to watch.
Definitely. And how about education? How is AI impacting something as fundamental as learning?
Well, in education, Google introduced new learning tools to Notebook LM. That's their AI-powered research assistant. Now it includes customizable flashcards, quizzes, redesigned reports, interactive notebooks specifically for academic texts.
So making studying easier.
Maybe more effective.
Yeah.
It's about enhancing how we learn and absorb information, you know, moving beyond passive consumption to active, personalized engagement with content. Could really redefine studying for a new generation.
And the reach of AI is expanding globally too, right? Not just English.
Precisely. For global access, Google expanded AI mode to new languages. Hindi, Indonesian, Japanese, Korean, Brazilian, Portuguese. This isn't just translation. It provides locally relevant search experiences, access to powerful AI tools for a much broader global audience, bridging digital divides, ensuring AI benefits are truly accessible and culturally resonant worldwide.
That's crucial. Finally, we've talked about the hardware scramble, the legal fights. What about the sheer investment still pouring in?
That's another key indicator. Investment continues at a staggering rate. Cognition, they make the AI coding agent, Devin, recently announced a new $400 million fundraise.
Bringing their valuation to
a massive $10.2 billion. And this comes right after they acquired Windsurf, another AI player. This signifies continued high-stakes investment, rapid consolidation, and a clear belief from investors that the AI revolution is still in its early high-growth stages. The race for market dominance isn't slowing down, it's intensifying.
Wow, okay. We have journeyed through the intricate ways AI is transforming everything. I mean, from the very infrastructure of the internet and corporate supply chains to Hollywood creativity, even personal healthcare. We've seen the legal battles it's sparking, the ethical questions it demands we answer. So what does this all mean for you, listening, engaging with this rapidly changing world?
Yeah, I think this deep dive highlights a central truth. AI is no longer some futuristic concept, it's a present reality. It's impacting foundational industries, sparking these intense ethical and legal debates, and at the same time, delivering practical, measurable benefits in surprising areas. The speed of its evolution is truly remarkable, and its multifaceted nature means it touches almost every part of our lives, often without us even realizing it. The challenge, and maybe the opportunity for all of us, lies in understanding these shifts and adapting to a world increasingly shaped by intelligent machines. So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe consider this. Given the rapid pace of AI development and all the challenges we've discussed today, from the hardware arms race and ethical data sourcing to adapting our creative and economic models, what do you think will be the next major bottleneck or the next major breakthrough that fundamentally reshapes AI's trajectory in the coming year? Will it be, I don't know, a new form of hardware, a societal acceptance shift, maybe a legal ruling that truly defines its limits and responsibilities? What's going to be the most significant aha moment we'll be discussing next?
That is an excellent question to ponder. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring.